Welcome back to Get With The Programming. I'm Chase Ingram.
I'm Captain America.
And along with me is Bill Grundler.
Wolverine.
I was trying to stretch my arms. I cannot.
Your chicken wings?
I cannot fully extend my left bicep just yet, but we're
almost there.
Come on.
Is it two rhabdos in one open?
I think I dodged the second rhabdo. Although after I worked out this morning, which was the first time I worked, I did the open workout on Friday.
Right.
Friday morning, I had to get it done. My brother came in town with his two kids Thursday night. So they got an 8-6-year-old right now. My son's 6, my daughter's 4. So everybody got like their big brother and big sister, which was cool. My son just loves his cousin. Cried when they left.
Yeah.
I have a picture. He's just like on the couch with his head in his hands. It's so sad. My son, he's so sweet. So I was like, all right, I got to get this done because I don't want to think about it all weekend. It's going to bother me. So we did that. But the soreness I got was, I don't know how you guys are doing it twice. I'm looking in the comments. I've seen texts. And I think I dodged second rhabdo. Although after the first one, you're usually a bit more susceptible to it, kind of like concussions.
Yeah.
But I think I'm good, but man, when I worked out this morning, I was doing some hang power cleans and some bar facing burpees, and I could just feel my muscles like rejecting the movement.
You felt like, the extra tension on the old.
Yeah. So it was gnarly.
I was seriously considering doing the, just to see the difference, the 55-year-old version today. I ended up not doing it, but. I still might do it.
When did you do 24.3?
Yesterday.
Was that yesterday?
Yeah.
How do you feel today?
Not too bad. My legs were a little tight last night. Like I could flex them and feel it. My arms feel okay. I feel them, but it's nothing bad. Sorry, C. Hill.
Sorry, my goodness. Yeah. We got it. Thanks, sir. Thanks.
This is like team OCD is what's going on right now.
So the most, my legs took a hit.
Yeah, crazy.
But I felt my legs during it. Like, not the leg pump. Like, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm already sore, and I'm on my minute break. Kind of a thing.
Wait. What was your plan?
I had no plan.
Well,
my original plan was...
My plan was to have no plan.
My plan was... Well,
you always have a plan. What are you talking about?
Okay. It was a loose plan because going into 24.3, I had not done a chest to bar pull up or a bar muscle up since
before the surgery,
December 2022. So it's been 15 to 16 months since I have kept anything on a pull up bar. I've got a squat rack in my garage and I've done strict pull ups only. That is all I have done if I hang from anything. I have not butterflied. I have not strung multiple reps together at speed. I haven't kipped since December of 2022. So you
did a clean and jerk of 225 before you tried to do a butterfly pull-up, a chest to bar pull-up?
Yes.
Wow.
It hurt less. Even though it was a clean and jerk at 225 that tore up my shoulder to begin with.
Right.
Hanging from a pull-up bar or kipping was... did not feel good.
Wow.
So I would hang and I try to kip through a little bit and just like the tension in my shoulder. So yeah. So I had a plan, but the plan was I was very, very hesitant and nervous. Yeah. So
don't break anything.
I was like, all right, I'll do my, so the original plan was I'll do my thrusters unbroken at 95. I can do 10 and I'll do 6-4 on the pull-ups if they feel good. If not, maybe I'll do 3s and 2s or something like that. And it went okay. I held the 6-4 except until I think the last round of chest bar pull-ups where I just fell out of rhythm. Like it was just so foreign, like finding my rhythm. And I was gun shy too.
Yeah.
Maybe guarding a little bit against it, which is really how you hurt yourself, is not doing the movement as it's naturally designed to be.
Right.
And then on the first bar muscle up, I missed. So I put the whole thing on our YouTube channel.
Yeah,
I missed my first one because one, I was scared because that's a lot of tension. Mm-hmm. Two, my legs were so smoked from the thrusters. My jump was in there anymore. Oh, so I had a low, like almost like a fingertip grip.
Yeah.
So I missed it, got a better grip, and then kicked through and got the first one. And so it was, I didn't really have a plan. I wanted to go 4-3 on the thrusters. I wanted to see if I could go 4-3 on the bar muscle ups. But seeing how I haven't done it in 15, 16 months, I had no idea. And really in the middle of it, I realized, like, listen, and you guys can, if you guys watch it, you can see is like, I'm feeling things loosen up a little bit. I'm a little nervous. I'm smiling. I'm happy. Like I just, there was a lot of things going on to where I wasted so much time. Not to say I would have gone much faster, but like my capacity in that. And another point is like, I probably have used a barbell 10 times. Mm-hmm. Like I'm in my garage. I can't really lift heavy in the mornings at all.
Yeah.
And so all of that was foreign. I've done barbell thrusters once since before my surgery. So all of that was just a minefield of maybe.
I mean, I was talking to Jules in the chat before you got here, and she was saying, I was like, you were late, and it was like, he's a busy HQ, and she's like, it wasn't my fault. Yeah, I made him work out. And she said that she was glad that you were sore and not hurt.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just glad that you got to do it this year. Didn't have to do like the scaled version. Mm-hmm. Didn't have to do like, you actually got to do it just to kind of get back in the shallow end of the pool. You know what I mean?
And that's where I'm at too. Like, it's funny as Griffin, it takes a lot of circumstance for me to beat Bailey Chase. Like, yeah, but like when I see that, I get so frustrated because I am who I am.
Right.
And like, I know what I'm capable of or what I was capable of.
What do you think you should have gotten on this?
Right now?
No. Like pre this injury.
Oh, okay. So pre-shoulder injury.
Yeah.
If I think if I conservatively look at the open, I can do, I would have been sub-7. I could have done sub-7 on 24-1. 10 rounds easy in 24-2. And 12 to 13 minutes on this one. Because if I look at old traditional, not traditional, it's like, everyone's like, okay, the 21-3, the 22-3, those.
Yeah.
Those are all in the very similar time frame as this one was.
Yeah.
Maybe this one's a little faster because it doesn't have as much volume, but I was always right underneath that 15-minute caps that they always had in that 12 to 13-minute range. So
yeah,
that's where I would have been.
Yeah, that's hard to think about where, like, I was wanting to be at like 13, somewhere in the 13s.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted like 13, 30, some, low 13 somewhere.
Which you, when you're training, could have done easily.
No, totally.
And you did.
I know, dude. I was like, hey, I'm hanging in there. This was a really weird. Okay, if you're not like Colton Mertens, mm-hmm. where you're going to do everything unbroken, and you're just racing it, then it's interesting how it turns into a strategic game. And it is the whole workout becomes a game.
Yep.
It's like how you feel.
Yeah, that's the fun
wrong.
Part.
You feel wrong that you aren't blasted after the first half. Mm-hmm. If you're able to do like the first and second half, if you have, chest bar pull-ups.
Yeah.
You feel wrong that you come into that and you're like, did I rest too much? Right. Did I not rest enough? And it's kind of like rowing where you can row 5 seconds faster on a particular split and it smashes you for the rest of the workout or 5 seconds slow. And you're like, yeah, I feel spectacular.
Good to go.
I feel great. And it's really, that line was insane. And it was really fun to watch everybody navigate that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that I was talking to, our members and even other people. But I can do chest to bar pull-ups. And I'm like, I know you can. But I always go back to one of the greatest changes in CrossFit competition mm-hmm. was when we had the hundreds event. We had to do the 100 chest to bar pull-ups.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw Rich Froning at the time do sets of 5.
Yep.
All the way through. And everyone's like, what the fuck is happening right now? And it was like, he's the best in the world and he's doing sets of five. Why the hell do you think you should start with 20?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same type of deal.
Right.
So it's like, you know, everyone's, you know, yeah, I got, you know, four, whatever. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? Who are you?
Yeah.
Who do you think you're better than? Like, wow. That was, I thought that was really, that was fun to see that.
Yeah, it was, I'm in the camp of, I'm really happy I get to even suck by my personal standards.
Right, right.
At all of these workouts, because last year I was just sitting on the sidelines in a sling in a lot of pain, because it was only a couple of weeks after I had shoulder surgery when I tried to one arm the open.
Right. That's right.
And just wondering is like, will I ever get, and I would see the events is like, okay, burpee pulse. I'm like, will I get to do these again? A ring muscle up. Well, I haven't tried one of those yet, but will I get to do that again?
Yeah.
Even like a power clean, getting in a decent rack position was tough. Like I actually felt my shoulder more during thrusters than I did on the pull-ups.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that is the position, you know, where it was injured in.
Right.
Libby,
me too, Chase. I had broken my wrist right before the open last year. Yeah. Oh. Sucks. Yeah.
See, so that's, it is, what's cool is when people still feel, and I mean, and obviously you don't really
count. Judy, this is your very first open?
Oh, wow.
All right.
Nice job, Judy.
Welcome.
And what's up, Roger? Well, saw you're in the chat there, dude.
That's
I like the fact that you having done this so many years, 14th one,
yeah.
You know, where it's like you haven't let anything get in the way of not doing of doing it. You had your injury, so you still jumped in anyway.
Yep.
And then this year just being like, okay, I want to be involved. I want to play. I want to feel
the feels. Yeah, I just want to play.
What's crazy is like it doesn't matter if you're competing. You still get to feel the feels.
Oh,
the anxiety.
Dude, like you all
did the
day.
You did the workout on Friday because you didn't want to have to think about it, mm-hmm. because it was going to like grade on you for all of that time. Like that's,
yeah.
Those are the competition feels that I think that a lot of people miss when they don't jump in. If they're just going to like, yeah, I'm just whatever. I'm just doing it.
Yeah.
It may, like take get those
ask me how much discomfort. I slept the night before knowing I was going to wake up at 5 o'clock and do the workout at 6. Yeah,
I love that stuff,
Judy. I just started CrossFit 8 months ago. Wow,
dang,
I was a fangirl. I thought you've been doing CrossFit forever just by the way you're a part of the system. That's awesome,
Roger. Post what your redo is. Roger did it and then redid it.
Redo.
Post up what you got. Dude.
This is important. This is an important question for Mark. Are you pushing buttons?
Sorry, stop. I was trying to get it out there and then you were trying to get it back in.
Mark Phillips just joined. Did we talk about how impressive Bill's placement is for doing all RX? What a great segue. Enough about me.
Ha.
Let's talk about Mr. William C. Grundler. You are currently 56th. Worldwide in your division doing all of the open prescribed weights for the 16 to 54 division.
I didn't even look at the leaderboard. Did you know that?
No, that doesn't surprise me. All right. You were 39th week one. You fucking won week two.
Oh shit. I didn't know
that. Yes. That's why they contacted you. Not that you did well. You were first with 185-pound deadlifts to the 135 that everybody else was doing. And then you come out here and you're like, oh, well, you had 342nd. It's like, that's good. Not as good as the other ones. It's like the dramatic difference of the open RX and the age group RX. All right. It's 135 and 95. Bar muscle-ups and chest bar pull-ups for the open division. For Bill's division, it's 95 and 65. Or I should say 65 and 95. And chin over bar pull-ups and chest bar pull-ups. And you're still rocking a sub-15, a 14.01. I don't know why you'd want to do the other one. That one sounds so much worse at those weights.
Right. Well, that's what I meant. Like, I was going to try it. Just because I think like, all right, I mean, it's a whole different workout.
Yeah.
It's like, they're not even on the same planet, I don't think.
No.
And I think like when we start talking about analyzing, mm-hmm. that will be...
Which we will do tomorrow, everyone.
Right, right. I think that will be important because, you know, what are you trying to show? You know, what are you trying to test? And I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to, like, this is not an ego thing for me, like doing those weights. I don't want people to think that. I'm not trying to be like, well, I'm better than all that. It's not that. It's not that.
I would say it's not that. I would say there is an ego thing in there, but not from a negative standpoint.
It's the same ego as when I didn't want to compete in the Masters division way back on the flips.
And that's what I mean. It's like I have this personal feeling, which someone could describe as ego, but you're not coming at it from a I'm better than type ego. It's just like I hold myself different than type.
Yeah, I want to do, okay, my personal thing is I want to do the race.
Right.
And if I was too old when I was younger and competing and still trying to make it to the games, if I got first in something, 100th in something, 10,000th in something, cool. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I know where I am. Like I just put me on the line with everybody. Like I want to get in there and mix it up.
Yep.
On this end, and this is no disrespect to anyone or any age or anything. It's just that I want to do the race that everyone else is doing.
Ah, that's a good, that's good. I like that.
I see the open as the open that's listed. Mm-hmm. That's what I see it as. And I didn't know, I still don't know like what CrossFit is even, I mean, technically they could disqualify me from any of the things that I did in the 50 because I didn't do that. And I put RX. I didn't do RX.
True. But so, if that were to happen.
Well, I'm just saying it. You know what I mean? I checked the boxes, but I could have been like Hiller and been like, yes, I am taking steroids. Okay, you're now out and banned because
you lied about all of your weights. You're like, that's technically true.
That's right. I mean, so it's not. So for me, it's I am doing the open for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it about the, it has nothing to do with the games. I'm just doing it for me. I want to see where I am. I want to have fun with these events. I want to be able to hop in the chat with all you guys and see what everyone's doing. I want to be able to still feel that anxiety and that nervousness about stepping up and going. And I want to see if I can do it. And I want to know what the thing that I love the most was the best in the world are doing this and I'm going to do that exact same thing. So I actually get to see what I'm doing compared to them. Not segued away from that group in this other thing over here. Not that that other thing is bad and there's anything wrong with that, but it's me. It's my personal race. It's my personal goals. It's my, you know, what I'm trying to get out of it for me.
Yeah.
So that's why I did that. That's why I did it. So
I love it. And I love every reason that you have. And I would do the same thing. The same thing.
Yeah.
Now the question is, when you qualify for quarterfinals, are you going to do the same thing just to see if you can make the top 200?
You want to know what's funny is I'm wondering, because they have different events every single week, I don't think they'll be the same events.
Ooh, yeah. Well, okay, so here's how, if you qualify for quarterfinals individually and as an age group, your events will be the same until there's a 55 plus, right? So you can technically
They are doing the same. That's right.
They'll be the same.
Then I would do the open. Yeah.
But I don't know how different they'll be, right? Yeah. Is it going to be like the open where it's just different weights, the reps are the same or whatever it is? It's like, but all of that will happen at the same time and they'll be the same events.
Right. Well, then I would do whatever the open one is. Which would mean I would end up doing it twice because they do them two different weekends.
No, all on the same weekend.
I thought it was at the end of April for the age group.
No. So what it's going to be is individuals and age groupers will go at the exact same time. They're going to do the exact same workouts, and you'll just be put on both leaderboards if you qualify for both.
Oh, I, just thought, automatically. It went, team, individual, and then
it's going to go individual, then age group. And let me double check, though. I want to make sure I'm not... I've spoken incorrectly before. Let's see. Quarterfinals. Let's say schedule. Let me pull this up so you guys can see it too. Quarterfinal schedule. Open registration for individual starts on the 1st. It'll start the 6-day competition on the 17th. Okay. Teams. Oh, maybe you're right. Teams do go before. So teams are the 3rd through the 8th, but age group and indie is all in the same.
I think I missed it up. I saw it wrong because I saw the 3 different ones set like that.
So that'll be the same events, but you'll have different weights and scales and skills for the 55 plus. So they are not going to be the same exact events. But here's what I want for you. Boost that positive ego of Bill Grundler. It's like, if you can make semifinals doing... that would be so awesome.
I haven't done this yet.
Okay.
Can you pull up the 50 to 54?
Yeah. Like the leaderboard?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you trying to see where your brother is?
No, I don't think he did it. I don't think he did it. But I want to see what some of the other, I didn't even look at any of the scores or anything.
Let's see. Individual age group. Pull this up. 50 to 54.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what we're doing here. All right, 50 to 54, men. Well, you beat this guy 2 out of 3.
Wow.
Who's currently leading with 7 points. The only thing he got you on was the 742. What were you, 820-something?
821, yeah.
821. Okay, so you would have been first. You would have won because you got a 9... Or did you?
Oh, wait, no. He got me on that one too. He got me on that one too.
I was you were 8.
9 rounds and.
Yeah, you were.
9-1, I think, on that one. Oh, you know what's crazy? See Chad Augustine, number 2.
Oh, yeah.
So he's gone to the games a couple times. He got hired. We got hired as Pismo Beach firefighters together.
No way.
At the same time, yeah. He's a good dude.
All right, so you were what? 820 on the first one?
Yeah, 821.
Okay, 821. Well, let's just figure this out right now. You guys want to go along a journey with us? See where Bill would have finished in the younger division just below him? You say 821?
Yeah.
All right, so that's a 23rd place finish.
Okay.
Okay, and what was your... Did you get nine rounds even?
9 plus 1. It was like 921, I think is what it was. An 8th, so 20. There's 31.
9 plus 1 would be,
821.
Would it be 821?
811.
So you would have been 14th.
Okay. So what is that?
No, sorry. 11th.
23 and 11. So 34.
And 34. And then you were 14.01.
Yeah.
So that currently, as it stands, you'd been 4th. So 37 total.
Yeah.
And then I'll do overall. 37 total points gets Bill Grundler 4th in the world in the division below him.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Take that.
Damn, bro. That's awesome. I hope you keep it up. I've enjoyed it thoroughly.
I just love the texts I get like, so did you do it?
Did you?
No, yeah. I didn't do it.
Just a did you?
I did it the right way.
The answer is yes, I did. Oh, dude, but I can't. When I look at Dave Castro's clue of the chicken leg,
my chicken wing?
I see two things, right? I see legs getting destroyed.
Yeah.
Which mine, like the amount I had to psych myself up to walk down the stairs of my house. For the last 3 days, you would have thought I was trying to pull a max 1 rep deadlift from the floor. These were the nerves and apprehension I was having. And I would make decisions on the importance of what was going on in my house, of whether or not I'm going to go upstairs or not, knowing full well I would have to come downstairs. But then I see the chicken wing, even though that was a chicken leg, not a chicken wing, of the bar muslab.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was his best clue.
Ever, right?
Maybe ever.
Like, it was the most, it actually, I thought, connected. Jason hates all, John, it's funny, Jason.
John Young, I felt no legs and no lungs.
Jason, CF Media, he hates all of his clues. He's like, none of these clues mean anything. But I was like, when I was, that last one that I did, I was like, holy shit, that was the chicken wing right there. I don't think I've thrown one that crazy in a long time.
Yeah.
It was nuts. I'm like, you better get over this thing now.
Don't you love it? You know, about halfway on the pull down, you're like, oh, I am throwing that grappling hook of my right elbow.
Here we go.
Which arm do you chicken wing with?
Right arm.
Right arm? Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because usually you're losing your grip with your weaker hand, so it's below, so you throw the strong one over.
Dude, I even think I bicycle my legs as I'm going up too.
Yeah.
The old Liu Kang. Everything's going over.
That's funny. Yeah. I missed my first rep three times on bar muscle ups. I just hop up there, try it, miss it, and I'm like, dang, I haven't been in this position in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, probably when I first started learning how to do bar muscle ups. What was harder for you to learn, a bar muscle up or a ring muscle up?
I think the ring muscle up, and here's why. Because we didn't have, the first time I ever tried a bar muscle up, it was at a Globo gym, because I didn't have my gym yet. It was way back when.
Okay.
And it was on a square-tubed squat rack.
Oh.
So it gave me, like, I remember seeing bar muscle up, and I was looking through some YouTube stuff. Yeah. And so your arm can set like that. So it's almost like a false grip.
You on did top it on a square?
On the square.
Dude.
So, but it's flat, though. You know how, like,
people, I get it, like, but my, I just think about my wrist. Yeah, yeah.
It's way more comfortable than you think. It doesn't sound nearly as bad. Mm-hmm. And then ring muscle ups, we didn't kip back then. It was like, I mean, you did, Amanda, yeah, at the game. No one knew how to.
Nope.
You had to jump up and then try to figure out your hands. False grip, wiggle. And then all the wiggling and weird thing. Like, so for us, it was just doing strict, you know, like strict.
Or like that.
And they were all low. To this, like, position, all of ours were then, super low.
Yeah.
So I think it was harder for me to learn that than it was the bar muscle up.
I'm the opposite.
Really?
Yeah. It rings took a long time. When I was first shown it, I couldn't wrap my brain around how you got from below to on top of the rings. I was like, that doesn't make sense. How that's like, this is magic. This is just fitness magic. You people are wizards, and I don't know how to do that. And then when I got my first one, and then I tried for months to get my first ring muscle up. Once I got my first ring muscle up, I didn't get one for another couple of months, which was really frustrating.
Yeah.
And then the next time I got him, we were doing Jason.
Oh, dude, I like that one.
So Jason, if you guys aren't familiar, it's 100 air squats, 5 ring muscle ups, 75, 10, 50, 15, 25, 20. And I had just gotten my muscle ups back, and everyone was false gripping. And by the round of 10, I still have got darkness on my wrists. I had removed the skin from here to like the middle of my palm.
Yeah.
But I kept like packing it with chalk, wrapping athletic tape around it. I eventually got it, but I think it took me a half hour.
Dude, I think I have an old YouTube video of us doing that at the fire station with our PVC pipe homemade rings.
Oh, really?
And I remember doing that. Like, I remember back then some of the CrossFit gymnastic masters, they would show you how to tape so that you could cover that up with a piece of tape. There'd be like a weird. Yes.
Right.
Because like that's where you would just bleed underneath. Right there. There was none of this. Nothing happened up there. It was all right on that bone.
Yeah.
And just shred the shit out of that.
Shredded them.
I remember that one. To me, that workout seemed like, man, if you can get this one.
Oh yeah.
It's like winning the lottery of all times.
That was the muscle up workout.
Yeah.
Before we continue, we're going to talk about our feeling about the workout itself. We're not going to analyze the programming today. That is actually going to be tomorrow. So tomorrow,
this is going to be really hard.
We got a hell of a week, guys. Tomorrow, we're analyzing the entire Open, same time, same place. So if you guys are rolling with us, come back for more tomorrow. And then Wednesday, same time, same place, will be our full Open recap of our Inside the Leaderboard show, where we'll look at where everybody stands after the Open, and we'll look towards what people are going to have to do in quarterfinals to get their game spots worldwide after the Open, because we take the Open leaderboard and then we average it with your quarterfinals worldwide leaderboard. So we'll have a full completion of our Inside the Leaderboard strength of field calculations. That'll be on Wednesday. So we have a full lineup this week. And then I've got a lineup when we do our pre-quarterfinals Inside the Leaderboard shows, which is going to be awesome, because then we'll look at people on the outside of semifinals looking in. We'll look at people on the outside of the top 100 looking in, and what those game spots that are on the line could be. So we've got a hell of a week. If you guys haven't seen it, go to our YouTube channel, go to our main page. You guys can join the party. We've got little memberships there for you guys. We've got some new emojis. We've got, just click right there. Click join right there. This little guy. Click that. You guys can join, be a member, support us more than you guys already do, which we do greatly appreciate it. I've got some icons that will evolve as your tenure increases. So some of those are really cool. Some of you guys have never seen them before, which I think is cool. And I put two emojis in there. One of them is my Captain America drawing that Wad Zombie did. The other one is your Wolverine one.
Oh yeah.
So those are both emojis. So hello, Odd. Welcome back. But let's talk about the workout itself. Now, we know that the first two weeks, similarities were there. The differences were also massively there. And when this one came out, if we just talk about it in a bubble, which we always do first, and especially after doing it personally, this was a amazing Open workout of yesteryear. I would say that too.
I think that's a really good and appropriate caveat to put on there, because I felt the same way. Mm-hmm. I thought it was definitely CrossFit Open of old. Mm-hmm. And the piece that I loved most about it was that it tested everyone. You had high-end athletes, they got to test capacity, because we did see some athletes blow up. I mean, if you watched Taylor versus the World.
Oh, yeah.
And you saw how fast Colton went.
Dude.
And the fact that, like, Taylor actually blew up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's like, it's cool to see that it pushes that high end. And then on the good CrossFitters, and I'm not talking like good in your gym.
Right.
Seeing, okay, what could they do on the Fran part of it, in the beginning part? And then, you know, how many of the bar muscle-ups are they going to get? And it's amazing what that third round did to people that are really good at bar muscle-ups and pull-ups.
Yeah.
You know? And all the way through to, it got to a lot of people that's like, okay, a chest-to-bar. I've never done a chest-to-bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is so communally important. That's a word. Whatever that word is. Important for the community.
I just laid out for that. Just like,
I know you did. I saw you go.
I just hand you a shovel.
But it's important for those first time things to happen, because who cares if you got tired in the event? Who cares? Everyone's mm-hmm. going to be tired. but you all are going to care if you got your first chest bar pull up or you got your first chest bar muscle up,
which
or
is
your
a
first
huge
double under.
Part of the Open,
and that is massive. So
I think yesteryear,
it was important during that time, and I'm going to say that it's still vastly important now. But I loved everything about it. Mm-hmm. It was fun. There were a lot of people that got to work on movements that they've either see what their capacity is or they'd never done it before. God, it was so fun.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
And that's when the Open was 5 weeks long, this would be like a final week one or maybe a week four. Week four is usually when they brought in a workout that separated the herd. And they were very open about that too. It's like, hey, everybody got to play week one, two, three. You've got some new mixed modal things in there to toss at you guys. Maybe a curveball here and there, but nothing that should derail anyone trying to qualify for regionals, but not just totally out everybody. And then week four, they throw in like a handstand pushup or a heavy bar or some type of skill. And this would be one of those week four, but really like this would be a week five. Hey, if you're on the bubble outside looking in, this is your workout to see what you got. Go earn it. And for the rest of the Gen Pop that was in the Open, it was like, go get your first, go PR your thruster weight. That's a part of it too. We always look at the gymnastics, but there's a big counterpart in the Open that are going to have to PR their thruster.
Yeah, we
even
had
at 95 and 65. We're at 135 and 95.
Right. We had a girl who just joined up. I think she's been here a month and she's done. She didn't sign up for the Open. Actually, I think she signed up the week of the Open, but didn't. I was still learning all the CrossFit stuff. So she didn't sign up for the Open herself, but we do all the workouts. So she was doing the Friday night lights with us this last Friday.
Yep.
And she had thrustered more weight than she'd ever thrustered before.
Cool.
You know, and it was like that was huge, you know. So right. I thought it was great. Whether you want to say it's of old or, you know, it's a separator, I just thought it was such a great workout.
Same.
Fun to do. And I love the fact that, hey, if you don't have a chest to bar pull up, and this is the we're testing today. Test. Today's not a workout day.
Test.
And it was fun because I said something on one of the shows with Sevan and Hiller, and then Hiller actually talked about it in one of his things, that today is not the day to get the stimulus.
Mm.
Today is the day to see if you could cross this line, whatever that line is that you're setting up there.
Yes.
So if you have a 15-minute clock, and you get your first round of six thrusters, whatever that might be, and you've never done a chest to bar,
mm-hmm.
well, then you get whatever 14 minutes to. I mean, when has anybody done that?
Right.
They should do that. You got 15 minutes to work on chest to bar. All right, go see what happens.
Yeah.
And I loved. I would never tell. I would never teach people ways to get chest to bar during a class. This way necessarily.
Yes, I remember your toes to bar way right. a few years ago.
You got to, you know, sometimes, but racing is different.
Yep.
Racing is different.
Whatever it takes.
But like, you know, having people jump, you know, into the bar to use that pendulum swing, because for a chest to bar pull up, you have to start, you have to be able to pass through a dead hang position.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. So you jump to the bar, you do a dead hang as you swing through. Pike your feet up into the air, pop your hips, and as you're starting to come back up, boom, pop your chest to the bar.
Yep.
Come on down. And they're like, I've
it's
had
for
so
one.
Many people that are like, hey, that was the first one I've ever gotten. Great. That's how you awesome. Race it. I don't want you to do the workout like that, but I want you to race it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so fun. It was so good.
It was good. I mean, it was a great workout. Like, that workout was just... It was a challenge. It was nasty. It was an eye-opener. Renata, what did she say? First attempt, I couldn't do chest up or pull-up, so gave. And finally, what does that say? Gave in and finally did the wad with pull-ups. Great wad. Next day, I managed to PR my chest bar pull-ups in 26. Okay, so
good.
You gave up, but then you got back in, and then you got 26 of them. That's awesome. That's really awesome.
That is awesome. You know what I was told? It's just so funny. I was told this by my class the other day. A lot of times if I'm putting, you know, we make the workout and I'll put like dumbbells or something. Mm-hmm. I'll say 50s and 35s. I'll say, or whatever, like your open weight.
Ah.
So I always push people to do the RX version in the open.
Right.
I mean, they can, if they get one rep or whatever, they can go and do the scaled version or their version of whatever. But if they've done that weight, then all of a sudden they'll come back to me later in a workout and they'll be like, I don't know what weight I should do. And I'm like, well, what about this one? Yeah, that's too heavy. We did it in the open. They're like, God, you keep using that against me. And I'm like, oh shit, I actually got called out. I use them testing the open as like, that's now their new, I just raised the bar on them because they raised the bar. And that's what it's supposed to do.
Yes.
We get so used to doing the same scales and the same modifications or the same weight without pushing the limit. And this is the one time where we get to inadvertently push the limit.
Yeah.
And we raise the bar for ourselves, as we should.
I like that.
So I like that. And this was one of those workouts that did just that. It was rad.
And here's the other thing is like each week had its own thing. Like we talked about getting your 24.1 badge of honor. And that was just with the potential intensity that you could pour yourself into, that just deep, dark hole of terribleness that everybody should experience. That was highly stimulus-driven.
Oh, geez, totally.
Right? So week potent. One.
Gosh,
like, if you haven't done it, you got to do it. And if you've done it, like you're in the club, right?
Yep.
Time irrelevant. Because I know plenty of people that broke 6 or plenty that broke 10, and they all kind of felt the same way because the stimulus for their fitness level, their relative intensity was maxed out. It is not time dependent when it comes to that. Particularly, sometimes there is, but it's case by case. And then even in week 2, by itself was a great open test of, all right, aerobic capacity, skills under fatigue, and then just like interference with the deadlift at a weight that pretty much everyone could do, whether that weight was cycling it correctly with hips, knees extended with chin, shoulders behind the bar, or you're doing singles because that's pretty much pushing your max end weight and everything in between. And the discussions we'll have tomorrow when we analyze the programming is combining those things for an overall test that is the 2024 CrossFit Games Open. But individually each week, I enjoyed how I got tested week in and week out. Like, I mean, I've already talked about what happened to me in week 1. But even during it, not even talking about the aftermath of what the open was and what happened to me after, but during it, I was like, man, I have not bathed in this pool in a long time. And I'm including the ones where I did dive in headfirst into just a sea of intensity. And still, that was top 3.
Yeah.
Still, even at my best, when I'm at my worst, I still achieved maximum intensity.
This is kind of, it's getting me thinking right now. So this is a question that Lynn had. So as a usual thing, I will always push people to go and do RX. Mm-hmm. For the simple reason that it's a test. Not that I'm, without it sounding like CrossFit just cares if you go fast and hard and don't care about form. And it's not, I'm not trying to injure anybody by any means. But I think that, for the most part, the open events generally, if we look across the board, except for the one that started with the ring muscle ups that one year, way back when, that basically everyone could at least start.
Right.
So the other thing I would say with people with the competition side is like, okay, if you do the RX, if you get one rep, you are now on the leaderboard over the world champion scaled division person.
I think this is a good topic to sit on for a few minutes. Continue.
I agree. So I use that. I have used that in the past as a, because we'd push everyone to do the open, the actual open, and we really pushed that in the past. I've used that as a, you know, something to kind of suck people into, okay, well, I want to be on the leaderboard. I want to be higher on the leaderboard. This will help me on the leaderboard, whether you're, you know, 5,000th or now you're 9,000th, like whatever.
Right.
I don't know if that would necessarily keep the top 25% out. So does it matter if there would be a work requirement? I actually kind of like the idea of a work requirement. But then, like, if you fail the work requirement, then what happens to your score?
Right.
Are you above or below? And that's the hard part. And I think that that's a lot of thinking stuff that hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's the fact, and again, like, you know, we want it to be as inclusive as possible, but maybe you don't put the scaled people on the worldwide leaderboard. Maybe that's how you do it. And so if you get one, you're at the bottom of the leaderboard, which I guess you would kind of be anyway.
Yeah, it's already kind of fleshes itself like that.
I don't know. I mean, I use the RX thing as the test. I'm not interested in the workout. I'm not interested in someone
getting
their fitness for the day.
Okay, so there's two questions that come up in this same vein that I've seen is, should there be a minimum work requirement to go RX'd? Because right now it's like one rep of RX is better than the fastest time in the world scaled.
Yep.
And when that question comes up, the focus there is outside the realm of competition. They start shifting back towards a workout. I was like, oh, well, I did all the work and I did it as fast as I can. I got a better workout.
Yeah.
True, but you didn't do a better test because the test was this.
Right.
You get handed a test in algebra. There's one test. And if you can answer one question on that test, that's better than the not real test. It's a different modified, maybe a practice test. Right. You've got the test you're being graded on and the test you're being practiced with. There's practice tests and there's test tests. It's all a test personally. But what this is, which is out going back to the competition side, this is a competition that starts the 2024 CrossFit Games season, and you're given three tests in the open to advance you to quarterfinals. So the events you're getting are the tests as written, as prescribed. Yes, one question right on the real test is better than 100 questions right on the practice test because we're talking about a test. We're talking about training. You're going to get much smarter and better taking practice tests over and over and over and trying to work on your, I'm making this as a math analogy, but like your equations and your algorithms, like all these, your processes and like, yes, your order of operations. Like, but if you don't know how to apply that to the test, it's different. And I think people look at these things as one and the same and they're not.
Right. And we have to remember like why the scaled division was even put in there. It was because we wanted everyone... We wanted to offer an opportunity. CrossFit wanted to offer an opportunity for people to get involved. But they said, hey, if you're doing this, you're going to be lower on the leaderboard.
Right.
Like you just are. You're not doing the same thing.
Right.
And that's fine.
Which is fine. We want you to play.
But again, you have to think about what is the purpose of the open?
Mm-hmm.
It is level one. The first stage of competition. Granted, it's our fitness fun run. We know all that stuff. Top 25%, move on, all those things. Two, it's our annual fitness test that we do in CrossFit Affiliates to see where we are, see what we've gotten better on or what we haven't practiced on enough or whatever. And then three, it's what are you going to test yourself on?
Right.
So, yes, one rep of RX is better than fast. Now, did you get a better workout? No, you didn't, but that's not what we're doing.
Right.
We are competing. We're not training.
Right. We are not testing the workout you got. We're testing where your fitness is based off the criteria you were given for the particular test. That was 24.1, that was 24.2, that was 24.3. They're not the same thing.
Okay, take my scores.
Right.
I did the RX version for the, like, the younger RX version.
You're doing the AP.
But I put my score in for the 55 plus. I didn't do the same test.
Right.
So whether I did a harder test or not doesn't matter. The test is the test. So that's why I'm 50 whatever on there. And that's what I chose to do. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Just like if you choose to do the scaled, you're going to be lower on the board because you didn't do the same test.
Right.
And if you're all on the same leaderboard, it all has to be on the same test.
Right. It has to be the same playing field. You can't have different questions based off the level of, I mean, cycle it back to class is like, you're either smart or you're not.
Well, and I don't want someone to think that like they are a bad person because they did scale. Like,
no, and never I think done, that's only never, well, projected well, on themselves.
Well, yes. Whatever it is that you chose to do, like, hopefully you push whatever it was, whether it was to get a movement that you've never done, mm-hmm. to get a weight that you've never hit, to go faster than you've ever done, whichever the thing is,
yeah.
and be stoked on that. Like, you have to be stoked on that. If you're in the scale division, you're not going on the next 25%. You're not going to the games. So your win is, what did you win in that workout?
Right.
What did you win in that? That's your win. Not whether you got a better workout than a guy that did one rep in RX.
Yes.
Like, that's not two totally different things happening.
Sure.
So I'm not overly...
People get too wrapped up in the workout.
I think I said yes, but like, you know, minimum work, because I think that people are trying to play a game, and I said that to do that. But like, there's no need for it.
Yeah. And I think the minimum work will discourage people from doing the one thing you want them to do and to put themselves out there and test themselves.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, there's a bunch of tens out there on the leaderboard right now. I was like, good. It means they tried. They put themselves out there to figure out where they were in their fitness journey. They do group classes every single day to figure out a good workout. We have three opportunities for 75% of the people that signed up for the CrossFit Open. You have three opportunities to see where your fitness level is. You have three opportunities to test yourself beyond where you are. You need to know where the boundary is. I can't do chest to bar pull-ups. I need to know that I can't do chest to bar pull-ups, and I got to sit there and look at my 10 thrusters for 14 and a half more minutes, and maybe that's the wake-up call I need to work on my damn pull-ups this year or to do some private training and get some coaching. Maybe it's like this came up earlier, which is funny, is like maybe it's a combination of skill, strength, and losing some weight at the same time. Right, all these things that can benefit your overall fitness, nutrition, gymnastic skills, strength, stamina, all those things combined together to when you get back to this test next year is that you can surpass where you were last year. And you're not going to figure that out stuck in a scaled division when you could go to the RX division. And on that, why I said that is because there are people that are PRing scaled division modifications.
Exactly. Totally.
They're getting their first chin over bar pull up. They're doing a thruster weight. Like, it's all a sliding scale. So there are people PRing the scale division right now. It's not a walk in the park. I mean, think about that. Chin over bar pull ups or jumping pull ups, whatever it is, right? To get to that next bar, to get to that final gymnastic skills, there's a lot of PRs happening in the scale division too. But what we're not saying is that it's not about getting a better workout or I did more work. You're looking at it from the angle of the CrossFit methodology in your gym. This is a competition. You have a set standard of skills, weights, and movements that you have to test yourself with. And so there, yes, one rep of RX is better because you took the test of which it was you were given to advance to the next level.
Right. Yeah.
It's not about getting a better workout or having more intensity or all that stuff. That is for the CrossFit gym. That is level one stuff. This is a competition.
Sport of fitness.
You're playing a sport.
And the methodology of fitness.
Yeah. I hope that answered some questions. I mean, you get those questions every year.
So every time.
Oh, I did it faster than everybody in the scale division, but I'm still behind the person that only did 10 thrusters. Yeah. Different test.
You could have done 10 thrusters.
Right. But I'm not getting a good workout. I'm like, that's not what we're doing. We're not working out. That's why they don't call them workouts at semifinals in the CrossFit games. Because you're not working out. You are competing. This is events. When you go to track and field, it's the 400-meter dash event or the swimming, a 200 meter individual medley event, not we're swimming.
I'm going to go do the 100 meter swim workout.
I'm doing the 100 meter swim warm up workout. It's an event.
It's an event.
And that was a big thing.
Competition is event.
Exactly. So yeah. As long as you don't call them tests, which I'm glad they're not anymore.
But it was fun, man. It was really fun watching. For whatever reason,
yep.
This we had a lot more people at our Friday Night Lights for this event.
Anybody get their first?
First chest to bars. First bar muscle up. Yeah, totally. It was awesome. Like I said, first on the thruster, first weight on the thruster. All of those things, like I love all that stuff. And the energy is so high, and if someone's going fast, that's cool. Cause someone's going fast and you're cheering them on cause they're going fast.
Yeah.
But when someone gets there first, the place erupts.
Right.
And the energy is so high. And it's so fun. And it was such a good note to end on,
mm-hmm.
I think, just for our community, our people.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
Here's a question. Ivor, what's the incentive to sign up as a newbie? Why are they pressed by coaches to sign up? Cash grab first.
Oh, I don't get any cash from it.
Yeah, we don't get any cash from it. Cash grab is just hot button bullshit nomenclature. We'll start there.
All right. Here's what I say: we are CrossFitters, and as CrossFitters, we belong to a club. And CrossFitters all know CrossFitters when we see each other. We have our silly shoes, mm-hmm. our hands might be beat up, or we're talking about what you got in the workout or what's your Fran time or whatever the things are. That's our cult. So, you know, we have our little cult thing and our mm-hmm. OG that we always talk about. That's our culture. That's our community. And our culture and our community does this competition. We have our worldwide leaderboard that we're on. Can you do it without sign up? Sure you can. And I mean, we have people that they don't sign up because they don't, you know, for whatever the reason is, they don't want to compete. They're afraid to compete. They don't think that they're ready to compete, whatever the thing is. But it is important, I think, to always throw your hat in the ring.
Yeah.
And by there's no fun run anywhere, no turkey trot anywhere, no triathlon, no Spartan race that no one is planning on winning. That they will go and pay $80 to $150
mm-hmm.
for that one-time weekend, whereas here you pay $20 and you get to like actually be part of the biggest fitness competition in the world.
And you find out a lot more about what you do day in and day out in the gym. And this goes to the same question that Griffin's asking is like, should gym owners be pushing the open on members? Yes. And it's because rarely do average gym goers put themselves in a position to quote fail or get roadblocked or whatever. And that when you put them in a competition setting, you force them to face those certain things. And you will learn so much more from your own personal failures in fitness. And if you want to get even more dramatic in life, than you will when you put yourself in a competition. Because if you never put yourself in a position where there is no escape, there's no back door, there's no out, and you just sit there and take a real world hard stance, look in the mirror at yourself. That is the point, because now you take those lessons that you know are fact and you can apply them to everything else. Yep. I did the scale division, I did jumping pull-ups and chin over pull-ups, and I had the fastest time in the world. I was like, well, yeah, but you also refuse to work on chest to bar pull-ups, and then you complain when they're programmed next year. Or you just I got embarrassed out there standing next to my 95-pound barbell and looking at a pull-up bar for 14 and a half minutes. Good. Great. Now take that feeling and use that as motivation and your why and your whatever, your bulletin board material that you never want to feel like this again. Or this is too intense. I usually don't push myself that hard when I work out and I was exposed in week one. Or it's too long in week two and I usually peter out at 12 minutes and just kind of mail it in my class every time we do a long workout. Or my double unders are terrible because I refuse to work on them. You only get those hard stance looks in the mirror at yourself when you do a competition. That's why we want you to sign up, because you're not listening to us in the group class. You refuse to put yourself in those vulnerable positions and you'll never get better. So that's why we want you to sign up for a competition. It exposes us in the best possible way.
And if you guys have been in CrossFit for any length of time, this is the safest place to fail. Because yes. We do it every single day. Every single day. Oh, sweet, Roger.
Roger, cool. I don't know what the number it is, but thank you.
I wanted to throw this up because this is completely not true. We're the scale division and call it like that because since they don't matter. That is so wrong. We're not saying that it doesn't matter. What we're saying is that you can't say that the scaled people, the people that are doing a scaled version of the test, deserve to be above the people that are doing the actual test.
Right. We're talking about competition.
That's all we're saying. Okay. They do matter because a lot of times that's what gets them into the open division, the RX division.
And Halpin's comment is exactly right. The scale and foundations matter to the people doing them, and that's their best effort on that day. Just like we said earlier, there are people PRing things in the scale division, in the foundations division, and how you move up from one to the next. It all matters to the individual taking that particular challenge at the time.
And as a coach, like I know what my athletes can do. If they're like, you know, I can't really do bar muscle ups that well, or I've never gotten a bar muscle up. Okay, cool. But you can do the whole first part.
Yeah.
So if you can do the whole first part, why would I say go scaled? Now, if I know that all of the things are outside of the outside the person's range, I mean, I might say, all right, look, if you really don't want to try it, fine. Then let's go scaled.
Right.
And I want you to get these things on there, whatever. But I might say, give it 3 minutes, give it 5 minutes to try to do one of whatever it is that we're thinking. Like, let's say it's the thruster at 65 and 95 pounds. You've never done it before. All right. You got 3 minutes.
Right.
Try it. What is that going to ruin your? That's not going to ruin your day.
No.
But it does matter because it gives me it gives an avenue for these people to push themselves at wherever they are and go from there.
Yeah.
So it does matter.
But you have to have the, I would say, check the ego, which used to be on the over the door of every CrossFit gym you walked into back in 2010, is you have to be able to put yourself in a position to, quote, fail. And by fail, I mean didn't get what we wanted, but really, like, you didn't. The fact that you tried and you put yourself out there and you were vulnerable, and I can't think of a like you said, I don't want to say safe space because I know that's a weird thing. It's like you couldn't think of a more safe space to fail and have the best possible outcome on the backside of that.
And the reason for that is because everyone in here is failing.
And has failed, and they love to see people take the leap.
Because if you fail, that means, okay, you're working to get past that next thing. If it's a one rep max,
right?
You fail the lift, you failed it for months, and all of a sudden you hit it, then everyone goes crazy because you got a PR. Like, that's the whole, that is what makes PR so great, is because of all the failures it took to get the PR.
Yeah.
But you don't get that PR unless you failed. Otherwise, it's not a PR. It's just what you normally do.
Jeffrey, in that case, the first movement should be something that everyone can do on the RX side, do program muscle ups or pull ups the first movement. Yeah, but like, where's the line? What line do you draw?
And can't be afraid of it.
Yeah. You got to draw a hard line, and that line's going to put on either side. Say it's jumping pull ups, and some people, I've seen people fail those. So do we oust them too? You just got to fucking put a hard line in the sand and just go for it. You guys are so fucking worried about like, being embarrassed or not being able to do something, and for some reason that means like it was wrong. No. Figure it out. Figure yourself out. Figure out who you are. Figure out where your fitness level is at. And then for the next 360 days until the open, work on it. Because now you know exactly where the problem is. Not hypothetically, I wonder if I could have. You need to know what you can and can't do. And the best thing you can do in CrossFit, the best thing you can do in the gym that's going to it is going to change your world, is to know exactly where your limits are. Because it's no longer a guessing game. And Bill talked about this in the beginning of the show. Then it becomes a game. I know what I can do. I know what I need to work on. I know what I want and I know what I can't do. So every time I walk into the gym for the workout of the day, I know exactly how to work on it because I know exactly who I am, what I'm capable of, and what I want to try to achieve. And if you're just walking around in a sea of unknowing, I don't know if I can do that. And I don't want to test if I can't because I don't want to fail, or I don't want to put myself in a position, or I don't want to get too tired. I don't want to overdo it. You're just going to sit there in your little bubble and get nowhere. That's why we do the open.
You guys all took a chance just to come into the CrossFit gym. And that was scary as hell.
Yes.
And then this is the exact same thing. It's the same thing. Don't be afraid. Just see what happens. It's 3 weeks is all it ends up being. And you learn so much, and everyone, there's such a revitalizing feeling, I think, in the gym after the open. Because there's a lot of anxiety during the open time.
Yeah, yeah.
For a lot of people, what's coming up? Or I don't know if I can do that. Or
I still feel that
totally.
Way.
It's like, how crazy. That's what I think is so great. And everybody feels that. And then the relief afterwards and the new doors that have been opened by that. And I think that's what's really important, is you have to have something that forces the door to open.
Mm-hmm.
There was something that forced you to come into the CrossFit gym, forced you to come in, whatever it was, health reasons, boredom, loneliness, you want to get back in shape, you miss fitness, whatever the thing is.
Right.
You had that door had to open for you to go through it and be able to get all the good things you get in CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get in here, everyone, it's crazy that here we are, we talk about, randomness is the enemy, not random.
Routine.
Routine, thanks, is the enemy. Yet, look at the routines that people fall into in a CrossFit gym. Same space, same bar, same workout area, right.
This
same
is my
scale,
barbell.
Same modifications, everything. You need something like this to bump you off that, because that's where the changes happen. And then all of a sudden, you find out either you can't do something, I now need to do that, boom, and a door is just open. Or, I can actually do that weight, boom, another door opens.
Right.
And now in your workout time, you can now use that as your new step to jump from.
Yeah. And Ivor, by the way, you're asking great questions. And what you said here is, I did learn a lot from the open about both myself and everyone around me. It makes you feel naked and it's good. Exactly. This should be done every time you walk into a CrossFit gym and not just the open. You are correct. It should. But most people don't, because they don't have... They always have an escape hatch somewhere. And yeah, it's on the coach to that's why we're saying the open is important, because there is no way out and you have to do what's in front of you. There's not it's not infinitely scalable anymore in the open. So it forces you in a pressure cooker to do that. Yes. Should you walk into a CrossFit gym every day and put yourself out there every day? Yes. But listen, it's way easier said than done. But in the open, when you say, hey, listen, just try it 3 times, week 1, week 2, week 3, that's it. Go for it. It's a lot easier to do. So it's for those people who either don't want to put themselves in that position or don't know how to put themselves in that position. That's why we're saying the open is so great, because it makes people do that. And then they can start doing it on their own in the CrossFit gym. So you're right. But that's why we're saying the open is great, because it just forces your hand.
So there.
Yeah. Great questions.
Well, it's important, because I think it's good to have this rehash. I mean, we know this stuff. We talk this stuff all the time. So it's good to hear what other people feel about it, because there is kind of almost a bewilderment of, okay, was that right? Was that wrong? Did I do it right? Did I do it wrong? Did I get what I was supposed to get out of it? Did I not get what I was supposed to get out of it? Did I get enough to where I want to do it next year? Like, I hope that it does. I hope that people go, okay.
I sure as shit did.
Right, totally.
I mean, we're talking about failing, guys. Like, I have not failed like this since, like, regionals 2013. I haven't. I haven't failed as much as I did over the last 3 weeks in over a decade. And it's great, humbling, motivating, frustrating. Like, I'll be honest, like I didn't, there's part of me that didn't enjoy where I was at because I know what I used to be. I'm not that now. What I could be if I worked on things harder in a different way. And that's what motivated me to wake up at 4:45 in the morning and go to the gym. I didn't want to. But I did because I wanted to have a better performance next year in the Open. Thrusts at 135 should not shut me down like they did, but they did. And by the fourth round of the 95-pound thrusters, I was really questioning if I should keep doing sets of 10 and not just do 6-4.
I broke up every single set.
I should have done that. Now, like that's why I wanted to do it again. Is like I'll break up all of my thrusters. Yeah. And maybe hang on to the pull-up bar, but I didn't know how the pull-ups were going to go.
Dude, I even broke. I'm good at pull-ups, and I broke those up.
Smart.
I did 6-4 the whole first half.
I can't believe you did a sub-6 and broke both.
The whole thing.
That's awesome.
But you know what? But my plan was to go. So I did 4-3 on all the thrusters. And I was going to do 4-3 on the bar muscle-up.
Mm-hmm.
But I just let my body kind of tell me what I was going to do, and I went. I only had one broken set. I was all unbroken on the bar muscle ups, and it was the one before the final set where I was 5-2.
Oh, like, I saw it. Dang,
shit.
Dude.
But that's why I had such a bad chicken wing on the last one, because I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm not coming down now. I'm going to lock onto these things.
Dude, I ripped. I haven't ripped in a long time.
Really? I didn't rip.
Yeah.
I love my grips. You wear grips?
Yeah. I haven't worn grips.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You haven't needed to. That's right.
I had to like...
You still had the soft skin.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I ripped. I don't know if you guys can see that. It's not that bad.
Nah.
But by minute 10, I was bleeding. I was like, damn it. I haven't had this happen in a long time. On what? 10 chest to bar pull-ups at a time? Or sorry, 6 at the most at a time? 4 bar muscle-ups? Like, whatever. And that's just where I am. And so, like, we're not just speaking hypotheticals here. I'm living that right now. And I have never put my videos online.
Yeah, that's totally true. That was a huge...
I put every one of mine online so you can see the freaking shit show that the Open was for me. And I'm cool with it. I've never done that. I've never put my whole workouts online. Especially when I was being competitive. And it's not like I had anything to hide. I just didn't do it. I never videoed anything unless I was forced to do it.
Right, right.
And I did this time. Why? Because this is the real. This is really where I'm at. And I just wanted another level of accountability for myself. It wasn't to show off. It wasn't a woe is me. It wasn't a look at... Sure as shit wasn't a look at me. It was, this is real. This is where I'm at. And... hopefully in a year from now, I can look back on these and just be like, man, this is hilarious. Like each week had its own hilarious moment. Week one, where I almost died in the round of 9. I almost failed a dumbbell snatch. I did fail burpees. I crawled up on my hands and knees.
That
has never happened before. No. I thought it was impossible to fail a burpee, but then I was like, oh, here we are.
And here we are.
And then in the 9th round of my 24.2, I missed 9 times in 50 double unders and 3 times in the last 2. That has never happened to me before.
Yeah, I wasn't even that bad, dude.
Never. I've never been that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe when I first started, but like in competition. Like in, do you remember that quarterfinals age group workout where it was like 75 power cleans at 135 and then 300 double unders for time?
Yeah. Dude, that one, I saw that come up and I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding.
This is your hell.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for the kind words. I appreciate it. But I think I probably broke 4 or 5 times in those 300. Unintentionally. And I just kept going. I broke more times in 50 reps than I did in 300.
So funny.
It's hilarious. And then in 24.3, after the fourth round, I was like, I don't want to go this hard because I'm not going to. And I was just happy that I was doing chest to bar pull-ups again. I was like, I hadn't done them in a long time. I was happy to be doing bar muscles again. I wasn't necessarily thrilled about doing thrusters at 135. Those felt probably worse than any of the four different movements we were doing. But you know what? I just sat there. And if you guys see, it's like I took a lot of breaks and a lot of rest and I'm smiling and I'm having fun. I was still not feeling awesome. But I'm just freaking pumped that I got to. I'm pumped I got to suck at that workout again.
I didn't even touch a 135 thruster before that workout. I don't mean that because I didn't want to work. Because you want to know why? Because I didn't want to know what it was going to feel like.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to know. I'm like, I'm going to do 50 beforehand anyway. Like, I'll be fine. But like, I didn't even want to touch it.
Yeah.
I had it set and just let it there until whatever the 7th minute or 6th minute, whatever it was.
A Miller, for you, Bill. What was the highlight of your gym community from the Open? You got one in particular?
Yeah. So we had, I mean, there were a lot. And the highlight for this particular one was everyone's pull up or bar muscle up one. Mm-hmm. One of the ones that I recall right offhand is we have this girl named Nicole Chia, and her dad is actually a games athlete in my division. Good guy. And she had never done chest to bar pull-ups.
Okay.
And so she could do a couple like regular pull-ups. And I showed her my little jump into the bar technique.
Yeah.
And dude, she got rounds in. Really? She was able to do singles like that and just handle it.
Okay.
And it was awesome because when you see someone that has never gotten something and then, you know, a piece clicks and then all of a sudden now they're not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like their whole persona changes.
Yeah.
Oh, I can do that. Boom. Right. And like, all right, I can do singles on these and I'll just keep on going. Look, I got another round. Look, I got another round. Look, I got another round.
They unlock like a whole
every
new
single
world.
Rep. Is a every single rep is like a piece of gold because it's all icing on top of the cake, which it was rad. I love that.
That's cool.
I love that.
I have one. This is more personal, but I don't have an affiliate anymore. I took a full-time job with CrossFit to take care of affiliate owners as I was. And last year was the first time I didn't do the Open outside of an affiliate. And I hated that feeling. So this year, I made sure I went to an affiliate to do the Open workouts full on. And this was Friday morning. And took a picture. There was some members that were at this affiliate. And I saw some more this morning, which is awesome. And we took this picture and then sent it to the group of us. And then I was driving home. And I'm looking at this picture, and I'm like, son of a bitch. Every person in this picture was a coach at my gym.
Oh, no way.
And now they're coaching at this gym, or they're members at this gym. And we're still here.
That's cool.
So, like, that was a cool moment where I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, legacy goes on. Like, all of these people came under my wing at CrossFit Big D and now have gone out on their own. Like Richard on the far left, he like manages the whole coaching staff there at D-Town. And then Ryan, who's on the far right, like he got his level one on his own in secret while he was at my gym. And I'm like, I looked at the rosters and he's like, Dave, did you get your level one this week? He's like, yeah, I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want to like fail the test and embarrass you. And then Michael was freaking just an awesome, fun community coach. Jules is there. She is wearing pants. But like, this is all under this, like the Big D coaching tree, man. And I was like looking at the picture and at a stoplight and I was like, oh my gosh, here we are. There they've been. So that was a cool moment for me.
That Thanks is cool.
That question.
That is super cool.
All right. The Open is done. Quarterfinals are all but a month away. 3 weeks if your team. But that means we need to look at the programming, Bill.
Yep.
We need to look at the programming. Tomorrow, 10:15 a.m. Pacific, 12:15 Central, we're going to analyze the programming of the 2024 CrossFit Games Open. Should be interesting.
I think it will be very interesting. And I really hope that we have a chance to schedule the mission statement show.
Ooh,
before the quarterfinals, if that's possible.
Well, what I like about this is this goes to the fact of when we see programming, we'll have an initial reaction to it, but we'll always want to see it in action to truly analyze it appropriately, because not everything happens on paper like it does in person.
Yeah.
I think doing a mission statement after each stage might be the best avenue for that show.
So do the analyzing and then set up a mission statement from that.
Okay, so analyzing the programming we'll do, that's tomorrow. Inside a leaderboard, full open recap and reshuffling of the games qualifying spots is on Wednesday. And the next show we do is an open mission statement.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right?
I like that.
And then we don't do quarters until after quarters.
Okay.
Right? Because our mission statement of the Open, I think, is different before than it is now that we've seen it take place.
Well, I don't think that there has been a mission statement. And for those of you guys, the reason I feel the need for this is when we go to analyze, we always try to figure out, did it answer the question of why? What are we trying to do? What's the purpose? What's the guiding light for our programming?
Yeah.
I don't want there to be the, 25% are going or qualifying out. So it really doesn't matter what we're doing. Well, we have these, it really doesn't matter. It's just a community thing. It's not programmed for the elite. All of these things all become, building blocks of, okay, well then how are we supposed to program it? Mm-hmm. And if there isn't that guiding light, then the programming either may or may not be doing what it's supposed to be doing based on what we're trying to achieve. And so I think that's what's important. So it will be interesting to look at this, analyze it, do our thing, and then come back and really say, like, okay, did it do what it's supposed to do? And if it did, what is that thing?
Right.
And I think that'll be important.
So that'll be good. It'll be good to do after we've seen the Open, after we analyze the programming, and then we say, hey, is this going to be the new mission statement going forward? We've said fitness fun run, that, we've said annual fitness checkup, like those are the things we've pioneered on this show. Does that hold true?
Right.
With what was programmed and how we define that mission statement. So yeah, we'll definitely do it after. Join us tomorrow. We'll analyze the programming. And then the next day on Wednesday, we will do our Inside a Leaderboard show. And those have been those have been everything I wanted it to be and more.
They have been really exciting. Names that are on there.
Yeah.
Dude, the shuffling of the names has been insane.
If you guys don't remember, the European women had 50 women in the top 100 after the second week of the Open.
It's so nuts.
18, 18 games qualifying spots.
That would be insane.
Oh, let's see. Kyle, you too. Oh, yes. Did you get yours from Kyle?
I don't think
so. Kyle, I got mine. I took a picture. I just didn't send it to you.
I didn't check my mail in a while.
It's a shirt.
I haven't checked it. I'll check it.
Yeah. Hashtag CrossFit shipwrecked. Yes.
I will check it.
Yes. Fellow firefighter, if I'm not mistaken, right, Kyle? You throw it in the comments for Bill. Yeah. Throw it in the comments for Bill. And obviously, guys, before we leave, if you guys want to join the party. You can join it right here. You got little options. All right, got your loyalty badges. Oh, I guess I can show you one of the badges here.
Yeah, show it.
Let me see if I can do it. Whoop. You guys see that little guy? That's a new one. That's
cool.
Yes.
I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Really cool. All right, team. Thanks for rolling with us. Halpin, yes. Halpin is building out our Inside the Leaderboard. You guys thank Mike Halpin for all that stuff. We would not have anything remotely close to cool if it wasn't for Halpin and known and noble. Mark Phillips, thank you. Thanks for joining the party. Appreciate that. Jonathan, always a pleasure. Thank you guys. Seriously, thank you guys for rolling with us in the open. It's going to get more fun as we get closer to quarterfinals. We'll do a recap of the open inside the leaderboard, but then we'll do a preview of quarterfinals on Inside the Leaderboard, and it's going to get spicy, and I cannot wait. So congrats, everybody. It took the challenge that was the 2024 Open. You still have time to redo it. I am not. I am still trying to...
recover?
Yes. JRW. Where did the nicknames start in CrossFit? Oh, that's a topic for another show.
Yeah, that would take a little time.
Yeah, I'm assuming you're referring to Captain America and Wolverine. When nicknames were earned, not given. But yeah, thank you guys for joining the show. Send it to your friends. Tell them to join the party. We'll see you tomorrow when we analyze the programming, and then we'll see you Wednesday when we go inside the leaderboard. Good luck for the rest of the week.
Bye.